This is the Generation Example Podcast.
We're going to continue in a series that we started last week. The name of this series is Disciple. And what we talked about last week is we talked about if you really want to understand what it means to be a disciple, you got to understand the concept of grace. And we talked about the fact that it's not about what we do. We spend a lot of time trying to be good enough for people in society. We're trying to be good enough to make the team. We're trying to be good enough to make it in school. We're trying to be good enough for our parents. And oftentimes we take that same attitude into our relationship with God and we try to be good enough for God. But the good news is you don't have to be good enough for God. It's not about what we do for God. It's about what God has done for us. And that is really the beginning of our relationship with God. That's the beginning of Christianity. And really understanding that God has already chosen you no matter what you have done. God has already died for you no matter what you have done. And so that's what we talked about last week. And we just really wanted to encourage you guys to understand the goodness and the grace of God. Today, we're going to get into something a little bit different. Today, we're going to get into this idea of barriers and divisions. Barriers and divisions. Right away, I'm going to start you guys off with this. Right away. We are surrounded by barriers and divisions in our culture. Everywhere you look, you will see barriers and divisions. Give you an idea. Historically, the U.S., I'll even say the world, has had huge issues in regards to divisions and barriers. And one of the biggest challenges that the United States has ever faced with the issues of barriers is the issue of race and ethnicity, right? Race and ethnicity has been one of the hardest challenges that we have faced as a nation when it comes to this idea of barriers and divisions. We're going to watch a quick video and let me show you what I mean. The Express, a great movie, and that's a movie about the story of a guy by the name of Ernie Davis. Ernie Davis was the very first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy, right? And this was in the 50s and the 60s. I don't know exactly what year it is, 67 or something, 50-something. And the whole idea was is there was huge divisions in our country at that time, even to the point where in athletics, you know, there was brawls on the football field between blacks and whites. Okay, huge divisions. Now, we have come a long way as a nation from 1960s, even to the point where, you know, 4 years ago we elected our first African-American president. I mean, praise God, our nation has come so far, and we have, in some ways, broken down many of these barriers that have divided our country. But the reality is there are still huge barriers everywhere we look. Right, there's barriers between politics, right? I don't know if you guys know, we have a huge election coming up this year. We got Democrats versus Republicans. There's huge barriers when it comes to economics. We got the rich, the poor. We got, you know, 49ers versus Raiders, right? We got cats versus dogs, right? Everywhere you look, there are barriers. And there's even barriers for young people. I mean, think about those people at school. You know, when I was little, we used to do something that we would call bowling for freshmen, right? And that was when the freshmen were down the hall eating their lunch, and we were at the other end. We'd take our apples and our bananas, and we would roll them down the hall and try to tag a freshman in the head, you know, and then they'd all move, and it would break and splatter all over them. But there, part of that is just good fun, but the other part of that, it could actually really create division amongst even people at school. You got cliques and in crowds. You got the popular group, right? And you guys know those kids at lunch who sit by themselves, who nobody wants to talk to because of, for whatever reason, maybe they're poor, maybe it's the way they dress, maybe it's the way they act, maybe they're special needs, right? And right now you guys are thinking of that person, right? But the reality is everywhere we look, there are barriers between people that keep us apart. And the effects of these barriers are devastating, right? We got people who are hurt. We got people feeling abandoned. We got people feeling rejected. We got people feeling resentment. We got people feeling isolation. And the reality is that every day there are young people in our midst who are committing suicide because of these barriers, because of the pain and the hurt they're experiencing because there's barriers around us and there's division. And so the question that I'm going to ask today is, as disciples, what does it mean and what do these divisions mean for us? How are we to respond as Christians to the barriers and the divisions that we see? And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you guys got a Bible, I want you guys to open up to Ephesians chapter 2. If you didn't bring your Bible, it's cool. If you got a handout, just flip open your handout. I put all the Bible verses in there so you guys can follow along. There's also a little right in the blanks or whatever. You guys can follow along. But as you guys turn there, I'm going to give you guys a little background. We're going to be talking about the book of Ephesians. Now, the idea of race and divisions is at the core of all of the Bible. I don't know if you guys knew that, but you can't open the Bible and read for very far without running into some passages about somebody doing something else to another race or another ethnicity, right? This idea of boundaries and divisions is all throughout the Bible. And here's why. Let me give you guys a little background, a little history, right? Way back in the beginning, God chose through a man named Abraham, he chose a certain race of people, a certain ethnicity called the Jewish people that God wanted to use to bring the message of God and Jesus to the rest of the world, okay? So he chose one race, right? And ultimately, God wanted to use this race of people, this ethnicity, the Jewish people, to do an awesome thing, to spread the message of God to every single person who walked, right? So for thousands of years, the Jewish people basically had God all to themselves, right? God dwelt with them. God had their temples with them. God set up all their holidays. God set up their political system. God reigned with them forever, right? For 2,000 years, right? All of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene, who was Jewish, right? He was the Jewish Messiah. And now it's time for this God that the Jewish people knew, it's time for them to share him with the rest of the world. It's time for the message of Jesus and the one true God to go out to everybody, right? And the everybody else is called Gentiles, right? Jews and Gentiles. If you weren't a Jew, they called you a Gentile. But the Jews, they didn't want to do it, right? They weren't quite ready for that. They're like, wait, we've had God all to ourselves for 2,000 years, and now you just want us to just give him away to everybody else? You know, it's kind of like my little son. I got a 2-year-old son, and, you know, whenever we buy him a new toy, you know, he loves these little stuffed animal kittens, and he can't quite say kitten yet, so he goes, kitten, 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 you know, and he has his own little talk, and we give him that little kitten, he loves it, and he pets it, and he smiles, and then we're like, hey, share it with your little sister. He's like, no, you know, and he just throws it, and he gets real mad, right? He gets kind of irritated because he doesn't want to share his stuff, right? He's used to having it all to himself, and in many ways, that was like how Israel was. Right? They have had God all to themselves for thousands of years, and now all of a sudden they're to take their God and share it with the rest of the world, and they're like, I don't know if I like this. I kind of like having God all to myself. I don't know if I want these people over there to have my God. Right? And so there begin to be these barriers between Israel and the rest of the world. Right? Between Jews and what we call Gentiles. Now, and I want you guys to keep this in mind because this is at the heart of the passages we're going to read. You see, Paul was writing to the Ephesians, right? That's where we get the book of Ephesus, right? The Ephesians is a place in Asia Minor, which is like modern-day Turkey, way over on the other side of the world. And they are not Jewish people. They are Greeks. It's an old Greek, actually huge city Ephesus was. You can think modern-day San Francisco. I mean, this was a port city. It had all the fixings of just a real hub of society. Paul's writing a letter to this church, and he's going to be talking about this division that they are facing, or that they were facing. So let's read. I want you guys to read with me here. And I want you guys to look. We're going to start in verse 11. I want you guys to be able to look and see if you can see this hostility in his writing. And I'm going to be kind of pointing it out as we go. Verse 11 says this. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles, remember, Gentiles meaning not Jews, by birth are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done by the body of human hands. So right off the bat, this first verse, we got some stuff going on. We got a real funny word that just, and I'm just going to say, this is a funny word. We got the uncircumcised, right? Basically, the way the Jews distinguished themselves as different from everybody else was that they had this outward thing that they did that not a lot of people did back then, and it was called circumcision. If you don't know what circumcision is, ask your mom when you get into the car today on the way home. Say, Mom, I just want to know. We talked about this word, and my pastor told me I should ask you. Can you please explain to me what circumcision is? Go ahead, and then you'll find out. But this is what they did. And so if you weren't circumcised, the Jews, they would call you, hey, uncircumcision. Now, they weren't just saying it like as a description of who you were. Being uncircumcised in their world was kind of like a derogatory term. It was kind of like, think of other racial terms that you may hear modern day, right? This was kind of like what they were saying. Like, don't eat with that uncircumcised guy. What, you got a question? How would they know what? They didn't like check, okay? Basically, how they knew was back then, circumcision was not done by pretty much everybody. So basically, if you weren't Jewish, you were automatically assumed not to be circumcised. Does that make sense? So they were pretty much the only ones who did it. So it was like the special thing that they did, right? And if you didn't do it, you were considered less than. So when somebody called you uncircumcised, they were basically putting you down, right? And so here it is, right here he's saying that, remember, you were used to be called the uncircumcised by the circumcised. He's basically referring to this division and this barrier between Jews and Gentiles, right? And so right away, we see this barrier that's up. Verse 12, he says, remember that in the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. So basically saying, look, not only were you separated, not only was there divisions, but you didn't even have God, right? Because God was with Israel, you were divided from Israel, so in context, you were divided from God. You were without hope. But he makes a transition here, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And he's saying, look, this division that used to exist between you and Israel, that division's gone. And how is it gone? It's gone by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He continues to say in verse 14, says, for he himself is our peace, meaning Jesus, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside his flesh, by setting aside his flesh, the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Right? Basically saying, he's saying, look, through what Christ did on the cross, he destroyed this barrier that used to be between the Jews and the Gentiles. He took away that hostility. He brought peace back together between these two people so they can coexist. Right? And the thing I want you guys to understand about what it means to be a disciple and who we are, first and foremost, is that in Christ, barriers are destroyed. In Christ, barriers are destroyed. You see, it doesn't matter as a Christian whether you're black, white, whether you're rich, poor, whether you root for the 49ers or the Raiders. I mean, you're just not very smart if you root for the Raiders. But in a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're I'm just playing. I don't hate the Raiders. I just like making fun of them on Sundays. All right? But it doesn't matter who you are or what ethnicity or anything. In Christ, we are all one family. We are all one. And I think this is a really important thing to understand. And what does this mean for us, or what impact does this have on us? Well, first, I just want to kind of share with you guys, I don't know how many of you guys ever been to, how many other churches you guys have been, but what is going on here at Abundant Life, as far as the ethnic diversity, as far as the social diversity. I mean, just look around. There aren't churches around that look like this. We have like the whole United Nations represented in here. It's crazy, right? And so Abundant life is an awesome representation of exactly what this Bible is talking about, what this verse is talking about. That through Christ, what he did on the cross, it is possible for all of us to come together, rich, poor, black, white, Asian, Filipino, Welsh, Italian, Costa Rican, Mexican, Indian. I don't know where you guys are all from, but we're all from Samoa, right? That's how Junior tells me to say it, right? It doesn't matter where you come from. We're all one in Christ. But this is the thing. That's the first thing. The second thing, right, is that God wants to continue to use us to break down these barriers. Because although we're in an awesome place where a lot of these barriers are broken, God's not done yet. There are still barriers everywhere we look. There are still barriers even in this room between people, between this and that or whatever. And you guys know what I'm talking about. But God wants us to be a part of breaking those barriers down. Think about it. He wants to use you when you're at school and you see that person at lunchtime who's sitting by themselves. You see that person who's marginalized or who's outcast because of how they dress or what they look like or because maybe their special needs or because of who their family is or because of whatever. God wants to use you to walk across the quad, sit down, and say, "What's up?" God wants to use us to break down these barriers. And instead of being a part of a world, right, where these barriers bring division, hostility, regret, jealousy, resentment, he wants us to be able to bring unity, love, encouragement, hope, healing, right? I think about these young men and women who are, I just had a conversation with a young girl who attends this youth group. This was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And she was on the verge of suicide. Suicide. Because when she got into 9th grade, all of her friends in 8th grade decided that they didn't like her anymore. And she didn't even know why. She had no idea why. They stopped talking to her. They stopped befriending her. They started talking behind her back. They started making fun of her in class. They started turning everybody against her. Created this huge division, and she comes to me and my wife crying, wanting to kill herself. Right? This is not what God has for us. God wants us to become agents of love, acceptance, and unity. God wants to use us to reach into those people's life and show them that they are loved by God. Right? And imagine, here's this is my last point real quick, that as disciples, we are called to be barrier breakers. As disciples, we are called to be barrier breakers. Imagine the impact that we could have on our schools, our neighborhoods, or even this youth group if we decided to live this out. Imagine how many lonely people would be comforted. Imagine how many unloved people would feel loved. Imagine how many rejected people would now feel accepted. Imagine how many lives, physical lives, could be saved. Imagine how many lost people spiritually could be found. Right? Imagine the impact that we could make right here if we decided to truly live out what the Bible says we should do and be the people God is calling us to be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and what it can challenge us to be, Lord, and to challenge us, Lord, to create a new reality, Lord, where we are one in Christ, Lord, where we are taking a personal responsibility, Lord, to being the people you are calling us to be and break down the barriers, Lord, that we see in this world, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each person in this room, Lord, as they begin to even think about the barriers that they see in their own life, Lord, the barriers they see at school, the barriers they see in their neighborhood, Lord, the barriers they see in this room, Lord, that you would encourage them, Lord, to be agents of change, Lord, and to make a difference, Lord, in the lives of somebody they know needs to have a touch from you, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.